Hey, and welcome to another Lorenzo's Music Podcast. I'm Tom Ray. And today on the show, I talked to a musician who I found on Jamendo, but they also release their stuff on Bandcamp and Free Music Archive. And the thing is they describe themselves as just basically a one-man band with a ghetto setup is the way that their description is posted on these different sites. So I wanted to know more. I found their song Shit September and posted it on one of our listening playlists that we have on Spotify and on YouTube. And it's just an interesting sound. So I wanted to know more. And it turns out that not only does the person just record the stuff on their iPhone, but they also use instruments that just happen to be around. Now, by instruments, I'm talking children's toys and bottles, cans for percussion, and the guitar and bass are really just, he has one guitar and an amp and makes those sound the way he wants. It's a fun conversation, and I learn a lot about how this person actually produces the amount of songs that they release, and they release so much. Plus, they were just featured recently in a video for a K-pop band, so we'll talk more about that as well. Here's the interview starting right now.
My name is Eric Pizer. From San Diego, live in San Diego, and I am Gag Me Sharkoff. I'm a one-man operation. And I have a pretty ghetto setup compared to probably most folks out there, and it's really, it's kind of what I think garage rock is really... probably what it is, actually. It's a guy in a garage with an amp who uses his guitar to also do the bass and doesn't actually have a real drum set, just kind of a hodgepodge of children's instruments, percussion, and other random drums and percussion I will buy at thrift stores or garage sales.
I didn't know that part. Okay. Well, yeah. First, let me go back just a bit. So, and it, as you noticed, it made me laugh still. The name, where did the name come from? Please tell me what Gag Me Sharkoff is.
Yeah. So there's a part of San Diego, kind of a coastal part called Point Loma. And that's like where the old time Portuguese fishing industry was. And there's just a lot of marinas down there and such. And I used to go eat at a place called Point Loma Seafood with my parents, like, you know, one Friday a month. Right. And so all the boats are down there. And you walk around and look at the boats and, you know, just check them out, I guess. But I think as my dad told me, I just always started calling the place, the restaurant we went to, Gag Me Sharkoff.
Okay.
And I don't really remember why, but he told me it was actually like there was an ad for a lure and the lure was called Sharkoff. And like the ad pitch was like, gag me, like, you know, get the fish, Gag Me Sharkoff. So then I just called Point Loma Seafood, Gag Me Sharkoff. And then when I was just trying to think of a personal band name, yeah, I just went with it because it always stuck in my memory.
So you did that instead of just going by your name, even though you're a one-man band.
Yeah, I don't want to go by my name.
Okay. That makes sense.
I'm kind of mysterious in that sense. You're not going to see my picture on anything that I post or, you know. Right. All the pictures I post are just pictures I take from usually the runs that I go on. I like taking a lot of nature photos and stuff.
Is that what those are from?
Yeah, if you see anybody out there in the realm out there, if you ever see any of my stuff on either Free Music Archive or maybe, I don't know, SoundClick or something, all those, you know, they're like, oh, have a photo next to it. You know, you have to have a photo. Those are all just personal photos I've taken from runs, mostly just throughout San Diego County. Actually, probably most within like a 10-mile radius of my house.
Okay, nice. And then... you just mentioned Free Music Archive, and I either discovered you on Free Music Archive or on, do you upload to Jamendo as well?
Yeah, I do. I don't know if that gets a lot of attention or not.
Jamendo actually does. It's more difficult these days for people to find it, and the analytics don't really tell you anything. Basically, the analytics go by your listens since the very beginning. So it's just a steady climb. Like, that's all it is. It's just the analytics going up.
Yeah, I'd like to think that, you know, it's just a steady climb.
Exactly. Like that. So Jamendo's a bit confusing, but I believe that's where I heard you from. And that's good to know you're on the Free Music Archive as well. So now with that, and my band, Lorenzo's Music, we're also a Creative Commons band, and those are Creative Commons sites. I did notice, though, on Bandcamp, you have it under All Rights Reserved. So tell me about your reasoning behind uploading it to Free Music Archive and Jamendo and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think when I first was doing it, I think just Bandcamp was the first thing I knew. So yeah. I just posted it there. And I mean, I figured, like, I think at first, I don't know if I charged or you can download the songs for free. I don't really know. Maybe I don't even know exactly. Like, well, you just told me I didn't even know, you know, so I just try to charge a couple bucks for the albums. I figure on the other ones, I'm just uploading single tracks. I mean, I can't really charge anybody for that. And I really don't want to.
Yeah.
And then so like Free Music Archive was kind of like one of the last sites that I've, like, not recently, but like, you know, a couple years ago found, where I was like, oh, hey, I should give this a chance. I should post on here.
Yeah.
And that one's been the best one by far. I mean,
I've noticed
quite a few people using my stuff as background for their YouTube videos, which is cool because it's a lot of different stuff. You know what I mean? It's quite a diverse range of like the videos people are doing, and
yeah,
who knows if they would really like most of my music, but they, you know, that one song got them, and who knows how they found it, but it's super flattering and cool. I have like a really random, interesting story about somebody using my stuff on there that I just found out about like 2 weeks ago. It's funny, you reached out to me like right afterwards, but it's a little bit of a story, so it's going to take a second.
No, go ahead. I was actually just going to ask you what kind of videos has it been used in. Yeah. So go ahead. I mean,
like, so yeah, like the other ones, like not this one, I've seen like fishing videos, bike rides, like people either doing like time lapses of like, you know, the sky, or their own like paintings, or mm-hmm. or put to animation. I mean, there's quite a few. There's some that are really cool that, you know, and I make a point to reach out to the people through YouTube and be like, hey, thanks, you know, because it kind of makes my day when I'm sitting here every day in the, you know, in my house working, and it feels like the same day I'm reliving, you know, in terms of work. So it's
right, yeah.
To see that, it picks you up, you know, and it's like, it's validation, it's motivation, it's all that. But so yeah, you know, just in, you know, kind of pat myself on the back, I sometimes will look up my name either on YouTube or Google just to mm-hmm. be like, hey, is there anything random popping up, you know? So I did that a couple weeks ago and saw this link to like a Korean magazine. And you know, when you search something on Google, if like, say I search Gag Me Shark, if it's actually on that page, it kind of shows up in bold. So I was like, mm-hmm. oh, my name is actually on this website. What's going on? So I go to it. It's a magazine article about one of the members from the Korean, I believe Korean, like mega boy band BTS.
Oh,
I
mean, right. Yeah.
I guess the guy's name is V, and he was doing like a solo album before he had to, I think, go do his like required military service or whatever. So anyway, I guess the single for this song, they did a promotional video for it where he was filming the video at, I think it was like Cartier, like the luxury watch company. Mm-hmm. He was filming it like at their headquarters or their regional headquarters or whatever in Korea. And it was like them along with W Korea, which is like a branch of W Magazine, which I guess is a luxury magazine. I don't know any of this until then. So anyway, long story short, they film a video and they put out a promotional like 30-second sketch video that's like a behind the scenes thing. It's like got like B-roll and black and white cuts and, you know, him kind of joking around and throwing the mic and, you know,
yeah,
random shots. Well, anyway, they used one of my songs for the background music for this 30-second clip, and it mentioned it in the article, like, oh, it was the sketch video was accompanied by a Gag Me Sharkoff song, and it, you know, it said like known for his eclectic mix. I'm like, known for, man, nobody really knows it. whoever wrote it like I'm some known entity, you know, not yeah. this guy, you know, that's just, you know, barely has any followers and makes music out of his garage. But anyway, yeah. And then like W Korea put an Instagram reel out about it, and I found that it had like 11.3 million views, and it had been like reposted like 500 times. And I was just like, what the hell? Mm-hmm. So I reached out to the brand, like the brand marketing manager. I found the contact for W Korea magazine. And yeah, basically she told me the photographer on the project found the song on Free Music Archive.
They actually reached back to you.
Yeah, she got back to me. It was great.
See, they never get back to me. We've had a similar thing. We had one with an L Korea video shoot So Elle magazine in Korea, they were doing a spoof. No, it wouldn't be a spoof, but like, you know, a themed photo shoot that was supposed to be based on the show Modern Family.
Okay.
And they had used our music in it. And I tried to reach out to them. Nothing, you know, so. So you got they got back to you and everything. And what's really funny is it was video of a musician. You think they'd use his music, but maybe they couldn't get the rights.
Yeah, well, it's weird because they did in conjunction with him. And you know, the odd part was like, and I don't know if it's just coincidence or not, but like the part of the song, of my song that they used, if you listen to this dude's single, it was like. The bass line for his song matched up very closely to the guitar in my song. So I don't know if this guy, whoever the photographer was just trying to find a song that had like a same kind of vibe. But I was like, damn, it sounds like it's in a different key. But those are like the same, you know, I'm not a big music theory guy. But I mean, I was like, damn, that sounds pretty similar. That's kind of cool and weird. But the whole thing was weird. But it was great free exposure. So can't hate on that.
No, I forgot. I had just seen that on your Instagram account that you'd posted that. So when you were, I should have known that's what you were going to tell me about. Because it's like, I did want to ask you about that. But that's super cool. So did you, now this is the question. Now I've known other people who have gotten their stuff in a video that's gone viral. How was the roll off onto your own account as far as followers? Did you see an uptick?
Yeah, I mean. That's the thing. I felt kind of dumb about it. Well, not dumb because I didn't know about it, but like I found out about it a couple of weeks after it happened. But like in those weeks, I was like, hey, this one song's getting a lot of like way more play on YouTube and Spotify all of a sudden. Like, what? Yeah. And I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, here we go. That's why. Yeah. So, yeah. I did. And I mean, then that's all you hope for, right? Like, to me, just the concept of like whether people knew it or not when they clicked on that video, like, you know, they heard a part of my music and, you know, and that's pretty cool. Like to be like 11.3 million people clicked on that. And like, I didn't have to do absolutely anything for that to really happen. Like, and even if just like a small percentage of those people were like, hey, I want to listen to that full song. And then just another percentage were like, oh, I want to check out more of what this dude does. You know, that's how it goes, you know?
Yeah. And so speaking of that too, now, as far as the, you putting out music and making stuff, like, how did you get started? I know you've been putting out stuff pretty consistently, at least on your Bandcamp, it says since 2018, I believe.
Yeah. And that old stuff is just really basic. You know, it's just like guitar.
Yeah.
it's not like, you know, what I'm at now, but, yeah, I mean, you know, it's like the same old story, you know, played music as a kid, played piano as a little kid, started playing guitar in like sixth grade. I mean, I took like a little bit of lessons, but I mean, maybe a month. So I can't read music or anything like that. So,
okay.
But yeah, I mean, high school, you know, played in some bands.
What kind of bands?
Punk bands.
Okay. As required by law for any kid growing up.
No, especially if you're going to like parochial private school, totally required, man.
Yeah.
No, but it was cool. It was a good time. I mean, where I went to school, there was a like the all ages venue in San Diego was just right down the street. So it was really cool. And, you know, I went to a high school in like 96 through 2000. So it was a great time for, you know, like punk music, kind of the new school punk, you know, surfer type wave. And also third wave ska was huge. So I was really into that in high school as well. So, but yeah, I was in some punk bands then in college. I mean, I was in like one band with some of the same guys from high school, but I never really did much up in college besides just play. And it wasn't until really like that. And I was in some bands after that, but it wasn't until like I met my wife, had a son, that I kind of went my own way. And I really got into writing my own stuff, you know, where I was just like, man, I just need to be writing my own music. Like,
right.
I'm good enough. And, you know, obviously like I don't have the free time to meet with people and really dedicate myself, you know, to be in a band with other people, but that doesn't mean it's got to stop me at all. You know? So I guess hope that answers your question.
Yeah, it does. And also you had mentioned before that you have been kind of hodgepodging stuff together to put it, I guess one way, as far as like the drums and playing in kids instruments for the drum sets. So tell me about your process for making a song. I'd really love to know more about how you achieve the, I think you referred to it as garage junk band.
I mean, it could be junk. It could be rock. It can be whatever you want.
Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, yeah. In terms of like, you know, we'll get beyond the part of like, hey, I'm messing around in my house and I lay down the song. Like when I go out in the garage, most times I like to have like at least one part, like kind of solidified in my mind. I'm not out there kind of trying to waste my time so much. And so usually it's whether it's a guitar or bass line, go out and record that. And then, you know, the fun starts after that, where it's the layering, where like, you know, you probably are familiar with, you know, you write a part, just one track of a song, but in your head, and even you might hear what you want it to be. And even if you don't, you just know like, man, I can really elaborate on this, you know, like what this is right here, just this guitar, it's going to be so much more than this. And that's where the fun and the creative part comes in more, is that layering. For the drums though, like I said, for the guitar, I don't have a bass. So I just play the bass lines on my guitar, and then I'll just change the levels on when I'm mixing it to like low to get it.
Oh, you're not
like
even detuning it or using different strings?
No. I just make it sound deeper. You know, I'm like, that's, now you got your bass. So for the drums, it's kind of like you have to almost record like three or four different tracks to really replicate what a full set would sound like just on one track, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you got to do the kick drum, you got to do, you know, a snare and a shaker, or then you got to do two shakers, or, you know, whatever else. I mean, I'll use random stuff all the time, you know, bottles, I don't know, whatever's around. I just got like a new little tribal, I guess it's a tribal drum, and it has like tribal skin on it, but
okay,
that's cool. You know, it's got doom, 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 doom. So, and what I do is I kind of just, when I do the drums, I just do all sorts of stuff over it. And then, you know, the editing process is where it's like, okay, some of it, you know, you pick and choose. Obviously you have to have like, you know, a solid track laid down that's laying down a beat, but all the other stuff I kind of pick and choose, and I can move around. Sometimes things work and sometimes they don't. And that part's probably the most time consuming part, because you have to listen through everything. And like I said, like,
yeah,
you could just find like one 10 second part and be like, oh, that sounds good right there. But the rest of it, that percussion doesn't sound good at all. It doesn't work at all.
Yeah. 90% of making music is listening back to what you just did. It's really
And then it's hard to tell if it's really good at the end. You know, you almost need other people to listen to it to be like, I mean, I think this is good, but like, I've listened to this so many times that like, I'm hearing that one spot where I still think it kind of doesn't sound perfect, you know? Like,
yeah.
And that's, you know, to your point of like, that's probably a hard part about recording when it's just you, because like, you lay down a guitar and maybe certain parts aren't exactly on time, and then you got to put the drums down and it can throw you off, you know? So you have to adapt for that sometimes. And that can actually change like how your percussion is, because you kind of have to, get out of rhythm sometimes to match up with the guitar. You know, and I've had stuff where I like my guitar was just a little bit different tuned, and I go back to record another guitar track over it, you know, a lead or whatever, or backing track, and I'm like, oh dude, I gotta change the tuning of my guitar, like this isn't even in proper tuning, like, you know. So like you go a week back, you know. So so sometimes I try to do that, where I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna go out here today and just do all the guitar for the song, you know,
right?
And I'll worry about the rest later.
So you're recording these all in a linear fashion? Like you're not doing, when you were talking about you need a bass drum part or you need a snare part, you're not just sampling the part and then creating the beat. You're saying you'll play that bass drum part, then go on to record in real time, you're saying?
Yeah, I'll play the whole song.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But I mean, there's times where it's like, oh, it's a complicated part in a song, and then I'll go back and edit it and be like, you know, like where I do a similar fill, but maybe I do that fill like four times over a gap. And I'm like, oh, that one sounds on point. So I'm going to copy that and put it here where I can hear like, oh, I hear the stick hit the side of the drum on that one. I don't really like that. So I'll use this. You know, I mean, there's some of that, but when I'm initially doing it, I'll play it all the way through the songs.
Okay. You know? All right. Yeah. I was just curious if you were grabbing the samples and then arranging them, or if you were playing them full on. Interesting. So what DAW are you using when you're recording these?
I use this thing. It's called the iPhone.
Really?
Yep.
All right.
I told you it's a ghetto setup, man.
So tell me more about the ghetto setup. How are you using the iPhone?
I just use GarageBand on my phone.
Okay, so you are using GarageBand. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And then you don't mix it like later on the laptop or anything, or like transfer it over. You're just strictly doing it only from your phone.
Yeah. I mean, okay. I was at one point I was using a computer, but then the my son's computer, but then it went to shit. And
as sons do, laptops and computers,
well, like,
too.
The screen got all I don't know what happened, but then the mic didn't work as well. Like, and so with that, I was able to put more like, I guess, post effects on like the instruments if I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
I know I can add stuff to this phone, but I really don't. So my more recent stuff, what you hear is pretty straight up. Like, there's not really any after effects being put on that stuff. I'm just maybe changing the levels, but like, yeah, I'm not putting too much on there. And I mean, I don't even, when I record, I don't even have distortion pedals. So it's either clean or in the middle or distorted.
Yeah.
that's it, you know, or, you know, some more reverb, some less reverb, but yeah, it's pretty like, I'm kind of just focused on like making the music than getting complicated with tech, I guess.
Yeah. And like I was saying before, you put out a lot of music, and aside from the just finding out that your music got used in a video or something like that, like, do you do anything else with the music? Do you promote it, or are you just writing it and putting it out there and that's the end of it and you move on?
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's how I promote it in my mind. Like,
yeah,
yeah, I just put it out to the world. That is exactly right. And people find it eventually. It takes time. You know, that song that got used on that video, I wrote that song or released it more than 2 years ago. It's like, how did that get found now and used?
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah. The long tail of videos, it's really just, they're easier to get found somehow. Like a lot of our songs from like many, many years ago, just from the length of time, of course, they have more plays, but God, if they don't still get like tons of views every single day. And it's like, I'm not even promoting these anymore. They're from albums that like, we can't even play anymore. Like, we don't even know how to do the song live anymore.
Oh dude, that's like all my songs. I'm like, yeah, I couldn't even remember how to play that. I mean, I probably could, but like when you have like a 3 or 4 guitar tracks on a song, you're like, yeah, I don't think I'd probably remember all those, but
yeah. Do you play live at all?
No.
No. Okay.
No, not at all. I mean, I don't know how it would work. I wouldn't be able to replicate what I do. So it'd be kind of hard to feel like satisfied with it, I think.
Yeah. No. And I was just curious because with the, I keep forgetting the description you use, which I love on your sites, how you talk about your setup with your ghetto setup that you refer to it as. I was just curious if you were able to take that on the road. But then, yeah, with the whole, like, even just recording it on your phone, which still amazes me. But yeah, it's like, then how would you do that live? I've known people that have done that where they just loop their phone, I suppose.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have any interest in playing out live. I'm just, for some reason, I'm like trying to imagine a way that you could, though you like, play all the instruments.
I wouldn't mind playing live, but I'd have to have like people come to me and be like, we want to learn your songs and play them, which I would feel kind of weird about, you know, so like.
Because every musician knows it's that easy. People come to you and go, we'll be your band.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, for me, it's like, there's not really an end goal of like, yeah, like, what I'm doing, but like in a perfect world, I'd be writing music for movie soundtracks and shows and commercials and stuff. You know, that's like what I'd love to do. I that's how I see people use my music. So it's just like, it seems like, okay, well, that seems like the, what I'd like to do. But at the same time, it's like this non-music daily work grind and just general life. It is the fuel for all of it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, all my song titles, they're just off of like daily stuff that's going on in my life at that time, you know? So without all that, there might not be this, you know what I mean? So
it's makes sense. Like the song that I found you through was your song Shit September, which I put on one of our weekly listening playlists that we do. Yeah.
That's awesome.
And I mean, that makes sense. I assumed that the title was really just kind of self-explanatory, but I didn't know if there was anything more to it than that.
It wasn't so much like personal, like, oh, a bunch of bad stuff happened in September. It wasn't like that. It was just usually September in San Diego, we get great weather. And this last year, the weather just sucked. So just that was shit September.
I'm in Wisconsin. September always sucks. Even when it gets hot, it's like, yeah, but you know, winter's going to happen in just a minute and then everything's going to suck. So I don't want to get on weather. Everybody else's weather is better, according to me, than where I live. Do you have any plans to make physical copies or CDs or sell anything like that ever? Or even t-shirts? Have you thought about doing t-shirts?
If I had the financial wherewithal to do that stuff, I would. I mean, I could make my own t-shirts. I think we have like a Cricut machine. But
nice.
You know, I actually thought
you're
about,
still working with the children's toys and like parent stuff, like a Cricut machine is such a parent thing to have.
I mean, I thought about making stickers because you could do those on Cricut machine just put them around like, you know, on little like random signs. If I see a sign out where I'm on a run or something. I mean, I put a sticker of my friend's record shop on a sign right by my son's old school like 8 years ago, and it's still there. So whoever made those stickers, man, those are solid.
Really?
It looks real good still.
They hold up in the weather.
Whatever that one is, it holds up. It's still there. I'm like, all right.
Huh. Okay. All right.
Yep. Shout out Folk Art Records, San Diego people. Best record shop in town.
And then before we go today, are there any other things that you have coming up or projects you're working on or songs that you're going to be releasing in the future that you'd like to tell people about?
Oh, yeah. Most certainly. I'm always working on stuff.
Yeah.
I got a new album, I guess, in the works. But I mean, you know, that's what's great about like Free Music Archive and those sites is, you know, you can, I just like posting single tracks. So I posted a couple tracks from what is going to be this album already. But I got probably like 10 others. I do have 10 others. It's just, I just want to restring my guitar right now and have fresh strings. So I'm ready to go because I'm going to grind. So when I go. But yeah, I think I'm going to call it Recreation and Good Times. I just thought it was catchy and it's going to come out probably during the summer. So it kind of fits. And I don't know. But yeah, I got some stuff coming up. And I like to have the quirk, sometimes like funny song names and sometimes not, you know, but.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, nice.
I find it kind of helps. I think sometimes people find the songs based on the names, or they, at least it makes them laugh and interested.
No, I definitely, when I went to go find more of your songs and I went looking for you over on Spotify to add it to the playlist, I did enjoy the songs. Plus there's the whole Gag Me Shark Off, which that's just a good thing in general.
Like that, you know, like that song, not to bring back the whole Korea video thing, but that song is called Daddy Bought Me a Swag Chain. And that's just a random, you know, I mean,
do you think that might be how it got found? Because they looked up the word swag?
Because of Cartier and stuff. Yeah. I mean, it has nothing to do with actual luxury watches. It actually,
right.
It was a baseball reference to like 3 years ago. You said you're in Wisconsin. I don't know if you're a Brewers fan or not, but I like the Padres. And it was a year where they had this giant chain and it had like an SD on it. And it was like a Flavor Flav chain and it like spun the SD. And they'd always put it on the guys' heads after they hit a home run. But like the problem was they like had a real shit year. And I was like, something rubbed me the wrong way about them like celebrating something that they should be doing because they're talented baseball players. You hit home runs, yet you're like way under 500. I was like, something about this sits wrong with me. So that was where that came from, was like daddy was just like, you know, the ownership or what. I don't know what it was, but
that's, you don't normally hear motivational lyric stories like this. It's based on a thing they do at a baseball game.
Well, this is how my mind works, you know, just random everyday stuff. And then it, ends the song. I mean, I'm not writing love songs or anything like that. I like to write stuff that kind of everybody could somewhat relate to or find funny, I guess. I don't know.
And if people wanted to check out more of your music, where should they go do that?
Yeah. Like you said, Free Music Archive, Bandcamp. You know, I got an Instagram and an X account. I don't post much unless, you know, it's to pat myself on the back or to shamelessly promote my own stuff.
Right.
But yeah, you can find me on all those. And I think SoundClick, I still put stuff on, and Jamendo.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's me, man. That's where I'm at.
Well, great. Thanks so much for doing this. I was glad I got to meet you.
This is the first podcast interview I've ever done, so super flattered, man, and appreciative.